Today on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman looks at the Lord's letter to the church in Smyrna.
The comfort that he speaks to them is not based on just some pep talk he's given them here, but based on four divine attributes of his own nature. Four divine attributes of Christ. So he's not just giving them a pep talk. Hey, hang in there. But he's giving them attributes by which they can be encouraged and comforted that they might endure to the very end. There may be someone here today, you need to hear this message because you've been going through a difficult time. God wants you to know you can make it.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
If you're a regular listener to The Dwelling Place, you know we've just begun a new study in the book of Revelation. Today, Pastor Al Pittman will turn our attention to the Lord's message to the church in Smyrna, found in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. The church in Smyrna was suffering a barrage of persecution and tribulation, yet the Lord reminds them that they have no reason to be fearful. Persecution and upheaval will visit each of us at one time or another, but we should not be fearful, for the Lord is with us always. It's all about endurance. Here's Pastor Al.
This is the second installment of our series of messages entitled Blessed for Success. Not dressed for success, but blessed for success. And last time we were in the book of Revelation, we began this book looking at the seven churches of Asia Minor. And the first aspect, if you will, of being blessed for success that Jesus mentioned to us, starting with the church of Ephesus, is that we must return to our first love. Return to our first love. And now he speaks to the church in Smyrna, which is also in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And he speaks to them about the second aspect of being blessed for success, and that is endurance, that they would endure. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's only a few verses, but there's a lot to be said here that the Lord has given to us. To be blessed for success, yes, to return to our first love, but also to endure. And Smyrna needed this word. They were getting ready to face some severe persecution. We know that Smyrna historically was a Roman city, which was granted the honor of building a temple to the emperor Tiberius. In Smyrna, it was the epicenter, if you will, or the center for what it was known at that time, fanatical emperor worship. They worshiped the emperors of Rome as gods. And so there was a religious cult there that really was fanatical about worshiping the emperors as gods. So you can see right from the beginning that the church in Smyrna was facing tremendous opposition as they were their hearts were set on worshiping the true and the only God. And yet the culture they were in was calling them to worship other things as God, just as our culture today insists that we worship the things that the world worships. And therefore, because they were the city that was the center of emperor worship, historians tell us, biblical historians tell us, that Smyrna was persecuted more than all the other churches in Asia Minor. So this word of encouragement and comfort for the church, Jesus needed to address them. And so we find that here. Suffering for Christ's sake, is an aspect of discipleship that many would rather dismiss. And then some extreme positive confession teachers will try to, preach it out of existence and say God has never called you to suffer. But the Bible says Jesus is our example for suffering. Suffering is a reality of discipleship. And it is oftentimes that I've found in my life, and I know you've found in yours, that suffering is the means by which God often glorifies himself through your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other people's business." Amen. In other words, he said, we don't suffer just for suffering's sake. We don't suffer because he's not talking about suffering for doing stupid stuff. But he's saying, if we suffer for Jesus' sake, that's where we're blessed. And this is the suffering Jesus is addressing. Peter goes on to say, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, guilt by association because you know Jesus, let him not be ashamed and let him glorify God in this matter. Many times through the suffering that we suffer for Jesus' sake, God glorifies himself through that suffering. And what I notice here in our text, as we're going to read it here in just a moment, is that although the church in Smyrna was under severe persecution, Jesus does not coddle them. He comforts them, and there is a difference. To be coddled is to be pampered. It's the, oh, poor me mentality. It's about self. And to be coddled, you know, you just stay where you are because, you know, it's everybody else's fault but yours. To be coddled, he doesn't coddle them. He comforts them. He comforts them in the sense that he gives them confidence or encouragement to continue. That's the difference between being coddled and comforted. When God comforts us, he doesn't leave us where we are. He comforts us that we might move beyond where we are, that we might continue on, that we might endure in our race for Christ. We begin here at verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. Now the angel, we know last time, is the messenger or the minister of the church in Smyrna. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I like that. I know your works, tribulations, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about, you might want to underline that word, to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit says to the churches, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. It's unrealistic, again, to believe that we can follow Christ without suffering opposition. And the world is totally opposed to Jesus Christ today. I know there's some people who, you know, live out their faith, and there's some people who mention God and all of this, but the world is at odds against Christ. And Jesus told us it would be that way, that they hated him, and they will also hate us. But the comfort that Jesus speaks to a church that is going to be, it is hated by the world, the persecuted church, the comfort that he speaks to them is not based on just some pep talk he's given them here, but based on four divine attributes of his own nature. Four divine attributes of Christ. So he's not just giving them a pep talk. Hey, hang in there, you know. But he's giving them attributes by which they can be encouraged and comforted that they might endure to the very end. There may be someone here today, you need to hear this message because you've been going through a difficult time. God wants you to know you can make it. Not based on how you feel or some pep talk, but based upon these attributes of Christ. The first one I find here is his authority. You can endure because of his authority. He said, well, where is that? Well, verse 8, the latter part, he says, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Amen. The first and the last speaks of his deity, his sovereignty. God is the first and the last. He declares himself to be the first and the last in chapter 1. But then he says, get it wrong here. I want you to know who's talking to you. John's sending you these words, and they're coming from the one who was dead but is now alive. Therefore, the words you are hearing is not a pep talk, but it is from complete, total, resurrected power and authority. That's Jesus Christ. A lot of times we come to church and we feel good about coming to church, but the question is, why do you feel good? What is the source of your encouragement? Because a lot of folks can come to church or they go to mass or whatever, and they get this religious feeling, religious goosebumps that kind of leave you, you know, after you leave the church. You feel good on Sunday. People come out of a church sometimes and, oh, that was a good service. Woo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what did the pastor say? I don't know. I just feel good. I was out partying last night, did some things shouldn't have done. I came to church today, and so I feel a lot better now. I feel good. Amen. Well, James Brown said I feel good, but that ain't going to get you to heaven. Amen. It's more than feelings. It's based on the power and the authority of a living, resurrected Christ. That is my authority. That's why I can continue on today, because he lives and he has authority. Therefore, on the basis of Christ's authority, we can endure. He wants the church of Smyrna to know this is not a pep talk. This is coming from the power of resurrection and the power and the authority of God.
Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with part two of today's message from Revelation 2.
Pastor Al Pittman's new commentary on the book of Revelation has hit the streets and struck a real nerve about the signs in our times.
The world is headed right now toward a one-world government that is headed up by the Antichrist, and the world will be ruled by one ruler.
Revelation, the Bible's last book, and one you must be familiar with. And Al Pittman's book is designed to do just that. And hey, the Antichrist is not breaking news. This is a modern version of an ancient plan of evil. Check it.
The devil is enraged. He hates this child. He wants to destroy this child. Destroy any opportunity for us to be reconciled to God. And yet, though he is poised and enraged, he is defeated.
Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the new book by Al Pittman. Order your copy of Al's book, Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, at cwccs.org.
You know, the devil's out to get me. It doesn't matter. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen?
Now, with more insight on the Lord's letter to Smyrna, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Secondly, they are comforted by his knowledge. Verse 9, he says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of a synagogue of Satan. Just the first part is what I want you to focus on. Jesus said, I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, that you are rich, but you are rich. His knowledge should be a source of comfort for us. To know that God knows. You know, we want everybody else to know what I'm going through. You know, I'm up here limping and going, hey, I got a bad foot. You know, I want everybody else to know. But, you know, God knows. God knows. And that should be a source of comfort for you today as a believer in Jesus Christ. That God knows my situation. The devil wants you to believe that God doesn't know. God was looking in another direction when the devil hit you over the head. When that thing happened to you, he was on vacation. That God really doesn't care. But the Bible says, like, cast your care upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. He does care. It's a lie from the enemy to say, God doesn't care. Jesus said, I know where you are right now. Or we just saying, meet us here, Lord. Where does God meet you? Wherever you are. If you call upon the Lord, he will be there to meet you. He knows your tribulation. He knows what you're going through. That word know literally means to experience with an absolute sense of the present. God is in that. We have a high priest, the Bible says, that is able to sympathize with us in all of our trials. He's able to sympathize. A high priest is able to sympathize with us, speaking of Jesus. That word sympathy means that he feels, sympathize from the Greek. It means that he actually feels what you feel. He is in the present. He's not in the past. Oh, I remember when God did that. No, God is right here now. He's experiencing what you were going through. He knows what is happening in your situation. And if he knows, we can be assured that he's in the midst of the situation with us. Now, I got to say this. I've wrestled with this with the Lord. Lord knows me. And I was like, Lord, if you know, give me a heads up. Just kind of, you know, text me, tweet me, do something. I need to, you know, if you know. Amen. But I thank God he does it. If God had told you everything that he knows, you wouldn't be here today. If God had told you everything you'd have to go through to get here today, you wouldn't be here. Amen? 21 years ago, we were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, just fat, dumb, and happy, serving the Lord, having a good time. I was on a worship team, leading worship, you know, doing all that stuff, pastoring, you know, assistant pastor. If God had told me what I had to go through to come here, I love y'all, but I'd be in Albuquerque. Amen. I'm just saying. Amen. I'm just keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing with you. If you had known what that guy you married, that handsome man, that, you know, that beautiful woman, somebody said, here's the stuff y'all going to have to go through. You're going to make it to 30, 40, 50 years, but here's the stuff you're going to go through. You'd be like, hey, I'm out. I'm tapping out now. Amen. Thank God in his wisdom he doesn't show. You know why? Because he says, my ways are past finding out. You can't even understand them. Well, Al, I'm going to have you do this. Well, Lord, how's that going to happen? Well, I'm going to have you do it. Well, when is that going to happen? Well, you're going to be going to work one day, and that's going to... Okay, but who's that? But I don't even drive that way to work, but it's going to be a roadblock that's going to lead to... But how did the roadblock get there? You know what I'm saying? You can't even get out of first gear. Thank God he doesn't tell us everything that we can't handle it. The just shall live by faith. And notice here in our text, we talk about the knowledge of God. What Jesus knows really matters. Because the world was calling the church in Smyrna impoverished. See, I know your words, your tribulation, and poverty, Jesus just interjects, but you're rich. Ooh, I like that. It's what Jesus knows about me that really matters. The world says, you're impoverished, you're in poverty. Jesus says, no, you're prospering. The world says hopelessness. Jesus says no, hopeful. The world says loser. Jesus says overcomer. The world says dead, and Jesus says live. Amen. Am I living by what he knows? What he has declared about me? Or am I caught up in listening to the labels and living by the label the world has put on me? Loser. You can't make it. Your marriage is over. All these different things. And unfortunately, a lot of times we as believers, we hold on to those labels and we begin to identify ourselves by those labels. But our identity is in Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Amen. Because he knows we can endure. And now we come to the third word of comfort, if you will, to the church in Smyrna. And Jesus reminds us here, kind of slightly, but he reminds us that our comfort is in his gospel. Not what we can do for him, but what he has already done for us. We can rest in the finished work of the cross. He said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished, and there's nothing we can add to the work or take away from it. It is finished. Now, I think he reminds the church in Smyrna of this because, you know, when you're going through tribulation and stuff, you start thinking sometimes, maybe I'm going through this because God just basically hates my guts. I've done something in my past, and I'm just, he just like talked to the hand, you know? He's ignoring me. I did something last week or whatever. God hates me. That's what the devil wants you to think. But he reminds us here about the gospel, as we'll see here in a moment, because he wants us to understand, it's finished. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, it is finished. You can endure. It's hard to endure. You know, a lot of people get mad at me, but it's hard to endure when you think God's mad at you. But he's not mad at you. He loves you. He's long-suffering with you. His love is everlasting. Nothing can separate you from his love. All the scriptures we can think of, his mercies are new every morning. But we become convinced sometimes, and I think the church in Smyrna was going through a difficult time, and they were like, maybe, you know, we're the church that he hates. And the Lord says, no, not so. Many times as believers, we ask the question, why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And Jesus provides an answer for us, for those who are believers. He tells us why bad things happen to good people. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. We live in a fallen world. God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that mankind has done himself and to himself. Well, how come, you know, the starving kids and all this? Well, if people would, you know, take the money and allocate it the way it should be allocated and give it to folks. Folks can eat. But we've got evil people who are keeping the food and the finances from people to get the help that they need. There's wickedness and evil in the world. There's tribulation. Bad things happen. There's a fallen world. Well, how come it happens? He said, the Lord said, it's going to happen. You're going, in this world, you will have tribulation. Solomon said, a man's days are full of sorrow, of toil, of labor. But he says, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. Whatever you are going through, hold on, endure, because of the gospel of Christ, because you are a child of God, have been given a right to be called a child of God because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Hold on. You're able to make it. You can endure because you're an overcomer through me. Amen. Now, in Smyrna, Jesus says here, it always strikes me, I have to go back. This is what the Lord teaches. This is what he thinks. And he says, there are these Jews among you. He said, they're not Jews at all. They're the synagogue of Satan. Amen. They're straight out of the synagogue of Satan. That's what they come out. You got straight out of Compton and all that kind of stuff. They're going to come out with straight out of the synagogue of Satan, you know. Straight out of the synagogue of Satan. Because they were promoting another gospel. They were Jews elevating their heritage, Jewish heritage, as righteousness. And Jesus strikes that down without apology. He refutes it strongly and reminds them that, hey, they're not Jews at all. They're of the synagogue of Satan. They're the synagogue of Satan because by elevating their own heritage with the gospel or above the gospel, they were in fact preaching another gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, you know, if I or an angel come to you preaching any other message than you've heard, let them be accursed. And then Paul said, just in case you didn't get it, let them be accursed. He says it twice. Why? Because it's another gospel. And whenever we elevate our heritage or skin color or denominational name or anything, our talent or abilities above what Christ has done on the cross, it's another gospel. It is of the synagogue of Satan.
Thanks for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Psalms with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. And I would like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. And I also want to quickly remind you that Pastor Al's brand new book, Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is now available. Pastor Al's new book will really help you understand the amazing vision of the future given to John. To order your copy, just go to cwccs.org. That's cwccs.org. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center, either at our Creekside or Westside campus. Keep in mind that we're limiting the number of seats in compliance with social distancing directives. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in the challenging book of Psalms. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.